The Sex AT. Several years ago, when I was preparing to take the SAT, I proposed the idea of the Sex AT, a new test prep book specifically designed to appeal to high schoolers. I would take existing SAT questions and simply reformat them into something more interesting and relevant. Here's how I would revise one of the hated problems on proportions and ratios. Existing boring example. The price of a telephone was first increased by 10%, and then the new price was decreased by 25%. The final price was what percent of the initial price? Now here's the new exciting revision in the best-selling Sex AT. Your fraternity house is hosting a party and wants to make a mixed drink out of vodka and juice. Paul, the first taste tester, says the mixture was too weak, and he added 10% more vodka. Sam, the second taste tester, said the mixture was too strong, so he added 25% water. The final mixture was what percent of the initial? The section on grammar features poorly written sentences with suggestions on how to rewrite them. The content of these sentences themselves are basically irrelevant, so they can be easily revised as follows. Existing boring example that everyone hates. Confident that she was fully prepared, Ellen decided to spend the night before the recital reading and relaxing, but not to be practicing. New and exciting revision in the best-selling Sex AT. Confident that he was fully prepared, Tom decided to spend the night before the prom updating his Facebook page, but not to be making sure that he had checked his supply of condoms. My enthusiasm for this project is largely based on the catchy title, which I think is half the battle in a book sale. When my son was a high school senior, I remember buying a book called Harvard Schmarvard, which had something to do with the college admissions process. And then, when he was renting an apartment in college, I bought him a cookbook called Everyone Loves Ramen. Both books were purchased based on the title alone and saw little action. I have even gone so far as to copyright the term Sex AT so that nobody can rip me off. At the same time I was mulling this project over, I renewed my interest in math, and specifically in the history of math, as I wanted to find the answer to a question that had troubled me since high school. How do you multiply and divide Roman numerals? The answer was, as I already suspected, you really can't. The introduction of our current Hindu-Arabic system of numbers solved these problems, except that the concept of an equation with an equal sign and symbols for multiplying and dividing wasn't accepted until sometime later. This meant that all math consisted of word problems. One of my reference books described the first known collection of word problems, published in the 8th century. This was my first eureka moment. Students have been struggling with the same basic word problems for over 1,000 years. Alcuin of York was a notable scholar during the reign of Charlemagne, and in 781 the king appointed him his education advisor. During this period he created the first math textbook, titled Problems to Sharpen the Young. The book consists of 56 problems, illustrating 9 different types of problems, all of which can still be found on the SAT test. One category is called heap problems, illustrated by Problem 2 in Alcuin's text. A man saw some horses at pasture, and wished they were his, and that there were others with him that were his, the same number again, plus a quarter of the sum that would result, for then he would glory in 100 horses. How many did the man see at pasture? You can count on at least one of these heap problems in the Sex AT, perhaps involving invitations to prom after parties instead of horses. Another category is called the 100 fowls, apparently since the first example of this type of word problem was actually found in 5th century China. A merchant wanted to buy 100 pigs for 100 pence. For a boar, he would pay 10 pence, for a sow, 5 pence, and then he would pay a penny for a couple of piglets. How many boars, sows, and piglets must there have been for him to have paid exactly 100 pence for 100 animals? Alcuin has substituted pigs for fowls, but in my Sex AT, I would substitute illicit substances for pigs. Strange family problems are more like brain teasers, along the lines of, if two men take each other's mother in marriage, what would be the relationship between their sons? In this strange family, apparently you can be your own grandfather. Then there are many geometry problems, such as how many swine can fit into a stall, or how many casks of wine can fit into a cellar. My second eureka moment came as I read the first of many river crossing problems. This was the moment when Alcuin validated my concept of the Sex AT across a span of 1,231 years. Here's the problem. Three friends, each with a sister, needed to cross a river. Each one of them coveted the sister of another. At the river, they found only a small boat, in which only two of them could cross at a time. How did they cross the river without any of the women being defiled by the men? The choice of the word defile is absolutely charming. You get this great visual image of rocking boats with water slopping over the sides, and giddy maidens being pursued through swaying riverside grasses. Now clearly, Alcuin could have chosen any combination of people for his problem. For example, an obese family, where you would have to figure out how to get all of them across without sinking the boat and without leaving a child alone. In fact, throughout history, the same basic river crossing problem has been reformatted to reflect the issues of the time. For example, during the Reformation, the boat could be filled with Catholics and Protestants, and during the colonization of Africa, the boat could be filled with trembling missionaries and eager cannibals. But Alcuin was brilliant. By choosing the eternal issue of sex, he avoided any specter of political correctness, treason, or blasphemy. And by creating a sexual contents, I'd like to think that both Alcuin and I were addressing the same problem. We both needed to spice up the questions to motivate students. Many of us have experienced the challenges of motivating our own high school children, hoping that they will take the SAT or ACT test seriously. Alcuin was probably no different. Here is the 781 version of this timeless conversation, featuring the overweening mother Betrada and her sullen son Pepin. Please note the use of pretentious words throughout, as I would also like to imagine that in his river crossing problem, Alcuin's choice of the word defile is a nod to multitasking with vocab practice. Here's the conversation. Betrada watches Pepin slouch in the corner, idly picking ticks off the household dogs and throwing them into the blazing hearth. Son, I beseech thee, why would you not spend time with these reckoning problems that your kindly uncle Alcuin has left for you? Without looking at his mother, Pepin says, I find these problems most noisome, such as reckoning the number of swine that will fit inside a stall, and I have heard such discussion at the alehouse, where wagering men find much amusement, but I think 'twould be much simpler to ask neighbor Lombard, since he has such a stall filled with pigs. Alehouse? Did you say alehouse? I have told you that you are much too young to be visiting those houses of ill repute. I pray that you have not over-imbibed and brought condemnation upon our household, sighs Betrada. Seeing no response from Pepin, she continues, You know how important it is to get a position at the court of Charlemagne. He is a mighty king of great intellect, and you can continue your education there. Why should I not go to the school down the road? Asks Pepin. By my word, you know so little of the world. If you stay here, you can only become at best an apprentice cobbler. Your future will be secured if you get a position at court, and our future depends on it also. Your sister's prospects for marriage will improve if you are at court. It is true that we have a great legacy at court. Your father, God rest his soul, your father's father, and his father before him, all served our kings. But I am told that this record is no longer adequate, and that Charlemagne is only seeking men with nimble and agile minds. You know your cousin Adalbert got a position at court last year, and you have so many more gifts. Your tutor will attest to your fine art and pottery, your words and your penmanship. But he cannot be so fulsome about your reckoning skills. Dear mother, everyone knows why Adalbert got a position at court, though he is only of middling intellect. King Charlemagne has announced that he is seeking scholars from all quarters of his realm. Adalbert is from West Wappingshire, a town that has never sent a scholar to court. I am from Oxford, where there are many scholars, and Charlemagne does not seek any others from here. I fear that my geography is working against me. Pepin, you cannot give up. Alcuin has told me that the king has asked him to devise a great test to identify the most nimble minds, and these scholars will be appointed to the court and given an apartment, and they can feast at the king's great table. These problems that your uncle has so kindly given you are examples of the very problems that will be on the test. He told me, have Pepin studied them well, and surely he will find great success. Here, take a look at this one, said Betrada. This one is about men and women defiling each other in a boat. Zounds! Exclaims Pepin, as he grabs the sheets from his mother and rushes off to study. 2 months later, he learns that he is the first scholar to ever score an 800 on Alcuin's test. He is appointed to court as the assistant to the exchequer. His sister marries a wealthy landowner, his mother becomes a lady-in-waiting, and his uncle Alcuin publishes the first test prep book to great acclaim.